Hey, this is Big Papa Pump Scott's Diner.
Yes, yes, it is me, Gerald the Poopé.
Hey, this is Joe Gatto. And
this is Eric Young.
Well, hello there. It's me, Harold the Puppet.
This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to Shootin' Poop.
Shootin' Poop.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Really like the new music. I mean, you just have to sit back and appreciate it, I guess, every once in a while. It's a hell of a thing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 81, which is technically episode number 2 of the new relaunch, the new look, the new shooting shit, same old shit, dirtier, older look. Look at that shirt, man. That thing is beautiful. I wish our people had somewhere where they could buy that.
You know what? There is a place. Let me, where is it at? Oh, here we go. Scan the barcode, people.
Quick draw McGraw right there with the barcode action.
Just shit in the bed here, bud. Shit in the bed.
It happens every once in a while, man.
Nobody's perfect, not even me.
We run such a tight shop. Joey K, how are you doing tonight?
Well, hopefully we get through this evening without too many technical difficulties.
There you go. Sean, how are you, Mr. Silver Wolf?
Oh, dude, I'm just kinder, gentler me.
So when did you become a fan of the Charlotte Hornets?
I am not. This is a Chicago Cubs hat. You stupid.
Oh, okay. After he said he was the kinder, newer him.
So you called my Chicago hat a fucking Charlotte hat, dude.
I mean, it's a TLC. The hell did think it's looking?
Oh God.
That was a joke. So emphatic.
You stupid bitch. The enunciation
it was
stupid bitch was fantastic.
We're gonna make that a drop. Anyway. Dennis Day, how are you?
Man, you know what? It's the weekend. I'm taking the kid to see the Super Mario Brothers movie tomorrow. Life is good.
Oh, sounds great. Sounds like a good weekend. Well, I guess we could just dive into it, man. Last week in general was a hell of a week for wrestling. But you know what it wasn't really a hell of a week for? The Stern Shit Question of the Week. Hit the video.
I deserve that. I totally fucking deserve it.
Put on that heat. Hit the fucking button. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time. Shootin' Shit proudly presents the Stirring Shit Facebook Question of the Week.
I'd like to thank everybody in our group for supporting the Question of the Week this week. After weeks and weeks and weeks of me talking shit about week 1 and week 4, You guys just fucking completely disappeared on the wolf, and that's fine. Hey, but the next question is going to be DDJ's, and you're going to have to answer that motherfucker. Son of a dick, man. I feel abandoned, alone, just mistreated. Just awful. Hey,
before we get to the question,
I'm a pretty nice guy. I don't think I deserve that.
Joey, well, this is going to be a little bit of payback for the shit you've been putting me through these last couple weeks. Joey K and Jovan, I got a question just for you two. Which was worse, Monday Night Raw or the Facebook question of the
oh. Why are you putting me in that fucking position?
That's a low blow.
But it's easy. But it's an easy answer. It was still fucking wrong.
Yeah, it was still wrong.
I want to go wrong along with the joke, DDJ, but that show was absolute dog shit. So I can't.
It was a raw that you felt like
it was, dude, an equal amount of people liked the question of the week that liked raw. So I think we're okay.
Bro,
so that's either really good for us or really bad for us.
Both.
Oh man.
What was the question, Sean? We'll answer it for you.
Dude, it's so bad. I don't even remember what I asked, to be honest with you. So this week's question was, what shows or what moments made you lose your mind? And basically, we were talking about last weekend with all the stuff that was going on. And, you know, we got one response.
Well, technically, we got two.
We got two responses. One was from Ty, and we don't really acknowledge Ty unless it's...
No, you know what? This time I think we have to, because he didn't mention Maria Menounos.
Really?
No, but he didn't. He mentions Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus kind of recognized him. I don't know if that was from the wanted poster or the lineup.
Well, the fucking PFA she probably had to file.
Order was filed. I don't know. And then the other one was Michael Fox actually gave... His answer was Gargano versus Waller, which, if you did watch the NXT show last weekend, which I did, end up watching Sunday afternoon before Mania. And I got to say, NXT put on a hell of a good show, man. It was a good show.
Yeah, they did.
It was better than 19 to a Mania, in my opinion.
It was the better show Sunday.
I mean, this question kind of encompasses the whole weekend. So, I mean, I guess that's something.
Let me be unbelievably clear about what I'm going to say here. There is nothing, and I do mean nothing, that could be worse than Night 2 of Mania, with the one exception.
Monday Night Raw?
No. One exception to that show. That was one bright, glimmering diamond in the steaming pile of dog shit that was left in Los Angeles. One bright diamond in there. I'll talk about it later. But that show, I would rather literally stab myself in the eye with a rusty screwdriver than rewatch Night 2 of WrestleMania. And I'm not even joking.
You mean like with the Black Bull? You mean like with the Black Bull combat club to the Hangman?
No. No, not even that. I mean fucking for real.
That was scripted. He means for real. That was scripted.
He's talking New Jack EC Dub.
Yeah. This is fucking Homicide 2004 right now. So the question of the week. I hate to say it, but the big standout of the weekend for me was everybody fucking getting hurt. Like, it sucked. Dude, the Dante Martin leg break.
Dude, I haven't even... Look, bro, I haven't even watched the video, and I probably won't. Like,
I have no idea how he fell that way. Like, honestly, did he take the brunt force on his ankle? I don't know what the fuck happened.
I think he got caught underneath the table or something.
Normally that move doesn't go that bad.
No, it does not. And it went the absolute fucking worst I think it could go.
Yeah.
Outside of somebody landing straight on the top of their fucking head. But The big thing for me this weekend was, like, as much as I want to talk about all the wrestling and some of the really great matches, we went from Dante Martin breaking his leg to I could give two fucks about him, that he was there, that he did anything. I don't know why he was fucking cheered, but
here comes Shane
McMahon blown out his quad. Like, you know, you feel for the guy. He does a fucking drop down, a leapfrog, and blows his quad out. And you're like, well, there goes that. Like, what the fuck? 12 seconds.
No, man, but
Shane McMahon, like, I feel for the guy.
That leads us to one of the highlights of the week, though. Yeah. And the world's slowest people's elbow, but the coolest people's elbow dropped by what? 60-year-old Snoop. I mean, just the fact that Snoop improv that and pulled it off.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is he should have seawalked on that motherfucker. Man. If he would have seawalked across one of the rope bounces, they would have just fucking killed it.
I know, dude, but the way he went off that rope, it was just kind of like,
leaned all the way.
Like, he went in and just kind of like paused.
He's like, these motherfuckers don't bounce.
Came off and then just like went up. I mean, he sold the elbow, though. You got to give it to him, man.
Yeah, he did.
And then,
so, I mean, Snoop saved that segment, bro. He did.
He did. Yeah. And then, of course, you have a catastrophic injury. So it's the kiss of death for the next match. And Finn gets his skull split the fuck open.
Dude, they actually stapled him in match.
Yep. I know, dude. Match. Dude, that just goes to show you how big of a star Finn Balor is. And the fact that he gets no respect in that company is just a fucking travesty.
So, I mean, for me, it's the standout of the weekend. As much as I want to say, like, the only thing worth watching on night two was the Intercontinental title match, which was fan-fucking-tastic, by the way.
It was all downhill after that, though.
Night one was great.
Night one was great. It really was.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I was so excited for night fucking two. And then it just... done.
Well, I'm gonna say this, man, and because I are you, I'm sorry, dude, are you done? I don't want to touch
good.
You.
I'm good.
Okay. I think if we go back and you guys look, there was at least one time, I think, I don't know if it was the night one prediction show after night one was over and we were talking about night two, we went live and we were talking about the Cody Roman match, and I said that I felt like Cody was gonna win, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And you guys were all like, no, Cody's gonna win. And all I said was, and like I said, I still thought Cody was gonna win, but I did say crazier shit's happened. I am not gonna lie. I was pissed. Like, I was legit, like, threw the remote, didn't watch the post show conference. Didn't get on the live feed after.
Hold it, because we've got a whole segment on this in a second.
I know. I was legit pissed, but that match, regardless of the outcome, which I didn't agree with, obviously, that was a great fucking match, man.
It was the
only match of any, you know, on the entire card, night two. It was the best match of the night. We'll get into everything else, but as far as like the actual story that was told in the ring, that was a great fucking match.
Dennis Day, answer the question.
For me, it was more of a moment that I'm going to talk about because we're going to talk about matches here in a little bit. When it's going to be kind of around the Hell in a Cell match. When the lights went out and you saw a Brood Edge up on the screen and then you heard Slayer and he did his entrance. That was it. That was the wow for me. I'm like, holy shit! Yeah. They got Slayer, Edge. The only thing that would have been even cooler is if you would have had Gangrel and Christian with him. Obviously, we knew Christian wasn't going to be there because, you know, he's under AEW contract. But there was a rumor that Gangrel was supposed to be part of the entrance. But for me, it was just Edge's entrance. I thought that was so freaking cool. And the fact that they got Slayer to play and stuff, that was the wow factor for me.
Yeah, that was a cool entrance, man. And that was about the best part of that match, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sadly. It had so much promise. Night 2 looked so good on paper and just poorly executed. Man, all of you guys stuck with the E, which is very, very weird because The Weeknd had such good shit across everywhere.
It's really about all I watched. I didn't watch any. I haven't watched any of the other stuff, so.
Well, Ring of Honor had a lot of good matches. I mean, I fucking almost cried during.
I still need to watch a Supercard.
I almost cried during Samoa Joe and, you know, Mark Briscoe. The ladder match until the end was very good. Eddie Kingston and fucking Cesaro was fantastic. I need to see that a little bit more in my life. Mm. But my highlight of the weekend still comes from the indies. I'm going with GCW, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport number 9. You've got the biggest name in wrestling. He's up and coming. This kid's going to be something real big. Speedball Mike Bailey going against Kota Ibushi. And the whole match, fantastic. But there's one spot where Speedball fucking rolls out of the ring and Ibushi's freaking godlike physique yanks this motherfucker from the floor.
I'm out. Did I miss this? Do we mention that in Bloodsport there are no ropes on the ring?
Yes, that's right.
So they take all the ropes off the ring, so that's how this can happen.
Yeah, there's no ropes. Okay. It's all posts. So you've got like squared circle and then fucking floor. There's nothing, there's no ring ropes.
Okay.
So Bailey's on the floor and from fucking apron, Ibushi bends over, locks his arms. And fucking clean yanks the motherfucker from the floor into a full-on German in the ring.
Oh, it was so fucking brutal to watch. Oh, my God.
The amount of strength it would have taken to yank that motherfucker from down there all the way up over. Oh, it was hellacious. I loved it. It was a fucking great spot. Watch that match if you can. But back to Mania. Since we'll transition here, because we're a little Mania heavy tonight, let's go with it. Your favorite Mania match?
Oh, for me, I'm gonna go as bad as the night was. I have to go with from night two. I have to go with that Intercontinental title match between Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew. That was what you call a banger, a meat slapper, a fight, whatever. I mean, those guys literally beat the shit out of each other for almost 20 minutes. And I mean, it was so good in that. So, but night one had its fair share, but just for me, the Intercontinental title match stole the weekend for me.
So real quick, it has been official. It is official. Wrestling Observer Online. I know we shit on Meltzer and them. That got 5 stars from Meltzer.
Yep.
Go ahead, Sean.
Man, match of the night. Are we talking just our best matches?
Your favorite match from Mania.
WrestleMania weekend. Or WrestleMania night one.
I brought this up the other night. My favorite match of the weekend was Rhea versus Charlotte Flair. I just thought it was a great story. It was a great match. I loved the physicality of it. I mean, they both look like they've been in a fight.
Yeah.
And I also loved, probably more than anything, is Charlotte sitting on the floor, just like smiling with pride and clapping her hands because she knows that they tore it down. Yep. You know, I just did.
She also knows she's going to get the nose fixed again too.
Yeah. 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 But for me, it was the best match. A match of the night, night one.
She's
actually 1A, maybe, I guess, because I mean, I got to be completely honest. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and the Usos match was, you know, that they were 1A, 1B. Like, I mean, they were pretty solid.
Joey, I'm pretty sure Charlotte at this point can use her frequent flyer miles to get that little touch up done. She's fine. She'll be all right.
She had that fucking punch card, bro.
Dude, on that match, you know, Flair was on a podcast. I can't remember which one it was. It could have been his. they talked about that match, and he goes, there's no way Ashley and Rhea should have ever been the co-main. They should have finished. He goes, even in traditional wrestling standards, you put the solo title in the main, not the tag, because I don't care what the story was, but they should have main evented.
The problem with anything that Rick says now.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Is that Rick is saying it now.
Yeah.
And I know you know what I mean. And when, especially when it comes to his daughter, man, he's not exactly impartial.
Yeah. Well, there's no way to be.
I mean, I said from the beginning, and I think Joey Kay and me both agreed like that. They should have main evented it. But the way that night went and the way the card went and the way the night finished, you can't argue that night one was, yeah, I mean, it stole the show. Everything about night one was way fucking better than night two. And then the following night on Raw. So,
Joey K, favorite Mania match?
That's really hard because I have like three of them.
Wow. So you enjoyed some stuff.
Yeah. But the one match that I knew was going to be good, I hope was going to get enough time to be good. That was one of the bigger problems with that match to start with. And do exactly what I thought it was, but it turned out even better than I could imagine, was the Intercontinental title match. That was my match the weekend, pulling down with DDJ. They gave him the time. They let him do everything that they fucking do, that they do great. And the finish was phenomenal. I love the fucking finish.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that was honestly, and to argue me that point, that was not the best finish to any match all weekend. And I'm not just talking somebody winning. Like, yes, Rhea won the title. Of course, that was, but I mean the actual finish, the sequence to the finish.
Yeah.
Like,
that match was still in doubt till the last second.
Yeah. Like, it was perfect the way it ended. So that was my match of Mania.
Oh, dude, that's a hell of a match. That I tried to look at it and say, taking that match out, what other matches I really, really fucking enjoyed during Mania weekend? Because that's a five-star classic. We're going to look back at Mania, this Mania, and say, you know what, that match right there, that's the one that's going to stand out. And when everyone's like, oh, we were there when this happened. And if, you know, Gunther keeps his projection on where he's, you know, going now, that's going to be his breakout performance. That's where he became the man. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take that match out of my consideration. Did I want to go with something that I thought was the funnest match out of it all? Do I want to go with the better story? Do I want to go with the emotional? Or did I just want to go with the train wreck that was so bad you couldn't help but watch it?
train wreck.
I opted for
the train
something wreck. That I would have gone the train wreck, but I went with something that I didn't expect to be as good as it was. I was thoroughly fucking entertained, and that's the men's tag team match. I was thoroughly fucking entertained by that match.
Fucking right.
I went into it with such of the, like, I thought it was going to be the drizzling shits, to quote the premiere up there. But son of a bitch, it was so good. Even having to hear Titus Worldwide
for fuck's sake
talk about Otis's sweaty ass, it was still a great fucking match. and Dawkins blowing up Braun Strowman may be my favorite Mania moment of the fucking week. Because he went into that and got lit up like a big he bag did of light shit.
Ass up, baby. I love that too. I did.
So
didn't he say after, like, was it on Raw where he was like, they forgot I was D1? I was like,
D1. Shit. Like,
okay. Out there talking shit about it afterwards. I'm like, God damn. All right.
That was great.
Dude, that was
tell me if you knocked it. Tell me if you took that big son of a bitch off, like, off his feet like he did, you wouldn't talk shit. Fuck yeah, you would. Oh, dude. I'd lift that boy up.
I'd be talking.
Yeah, Gable took him off his feet.
I put that shit on a fucking shirt. I'd put that hit on a shirt.
Here's the thing about that match. I was 100% convinced that it was going to be just as bad as the women's tag team match.
that was horrible.
Which, I wouldn't say it was even horrible. It was just like, okay, next, whatever. But
Ronda got millions for two moves.
That match played so well. I want to know who produced that match, because that fucking thing was all fucking set up to be the worst thing possible of the weekend. And it turned out to be the fucking one of the highlights of the weekend. Everybody somebody did their shit. It. What's that?
You need to find that out. DJ's
looking at it. I'm on it right now.
Yeah,
here comes our fact checkers.
Dude, everybody got their shit in. Everybody looked great doing it. How about fucking Gable with the fucking is that where he picked up fucking Strowman?
Okay, I got the answer. It was Petey Williams.
No shit.
Of course.
Fucking Canadian Williams. Destroyer himself. Yep. Hell yeah.
I can see that. Petey's always been good in ring.
Oh man. That fucking worked out so well. And of course the finish was great because the right team won.
Yeah. And I need the Street Profits to make that their ender. The face buster into the fucking frog splash from hell. Woo. That needs to be the combo for them.
That was a fucking,
Dude, Montez Ford is just so fucking talented, bro. Yeah, I'm just unbelievable. I don't know why we're stepping on him and holding him down, but.
All right, gentlemen, we've got two options here. We could pivot two ways. We can go to Cody, or we can go to the cell and come back to the Cody. What do you want to do? Do you want to jump into the Roman Cody and go to the cell after?
Let's go to Roman Cody and then we'll go to the sale.
Fantastic. Somebody started on this. How do you feel now, Cody Roman? It's been 5 days. Are you still, does it still resonate pretty deeply with you? And whoever wants to start can go ahead, because I'm probably going to be the last one on this.
Fucking horseshit. 5 days later. Like, come on. You literally fucking wasted the last top contending babyface in your fucking company. So what? Roman has now beat every legitimate contender on that fucking roster. So what do we do now? I don't fucking know. They're gonna let Roman go fucking jerk around for the next 2 months. Maybe go film a movie. Fucking who knows? Have like 4 more kids. I don't fucking know.
Definitely not gonna be a Backlash. They've already released that statement.
Yeah, I mean,
so we don't want to put a Rico anyway.
Back to fucking holding up the title once again. I don't know. It was still the wrong finish. It was the wrong finish completely, because we need to end this. You need to either separate the titles or do something different, because that shit is just, garbage.
I can't. People are going to, there's people are going to be pissed at me for what I'm going to say, and there's people going to be shocked at me.
Well, come on, man. Get it off of your chest.
I, as a fan of Cody Rhodes, this is going to take a minute, man. I'll go as quick as I can. I'm not trying to take up too much time. But
hey, we've only got a few more topics.
I have been holding this in for a while, so I'm just going to – I haven't commented on it at all. Obviously, everybody knows I'm a huge Rhodes mark. It don't matter whether it's Cody, Dustin, or his dad. I love them all. And because of their dad, I just want to see him succeed. The storyline and everything. Dude, find something else. Jesus.
Okay, I got something else.
The match was, dude, wipe your ass with that one too. Okay,
so let the man fucking speak. That's not me here for 3 more hours. Your ass,
right? Yeah, delete both of them. Get rid of them. Do something else. Find something else to fuck with me about. Anyway, the match was, it was a great story. I mean, it was one of those matches, dude. Like at one point, I literally was standing up.
Oh, wow.
In the room watching it on TV, because they were in the back of my mind, like I fucking knew it. Like in the back of my mind, I just like, you're not gonna let me have this, are you, motherfucker? I wanted him to, I really did want him to win so bad. And then, and to the point of like when he lost, like when, I mean, The closest reaction I can give you to what I felt Sunday night was Brock beating Taker at Mania.
Wow.
Like it was that big a moment, I think. Maybe not in the sense of like as huge as it was for Taker and Brock and the storyline of Taker winning all and the complete shock and amazement of everybody. Like but it was in that arena, like silent.
Like, yeah.
People were just.
It has been confirmed. Fan videos, the crowd was silent. They piped in noise for the TV.
Slack jawed, silent, staring off into nowhere. People with their hands on their heads. They did not know what was going on. I legit turned the TV off and threw the remote. Not hard, not across the room, none of that stuff.
Didn't break anything.
I legit didn't break nothing. It wasn't like that, but it was just like I literally said out loud, I can't believe I gave up fucking sleep for this. You know, yep. Because I
did say that.
Early to rise Monday morning, all that. As Monday and Tuesday crept through, and we'll talk about the sale later in the sale, how that went. The only thing that kind of, there's two things that stuck in my mind. One, we all asked for this. We begged for heel Roman. We begged for heel Roman for years. We were just begging for it because we couldn't stand him as a face. And the run that he's on, and it's going on like what now? We're looking at 1,000 days. And I think somebody posted something like, for him to surpass Bruno Sammartino, he has to be the champion past like Backlash or something.
He probably will be.
And that, you know, I'll probably talk about that in my final thought. But the one thing that kind of stuck out to me was, man, fucking Triple H really knows what the fuck he's doing.
What the fuck?
If Cody wins that match and goes over, Cody's your new champ. He shows up on Raw Monday. There's a celebration. We're starting a new storyline. By Monday night, all anybody's talking about is the sale. Right? That's it. That's all they're talking about. But Cody didn't go over. Roman won. And the entire wrestling universe lost their ever-loving fucking minds. We all went batshit. We all did.
Yeah.
How fucking smart is Triple H that he sat back, looked at what he had, and went, nope, not yet. They don't get it yet. I'm not giving it to you yet. And even in the post-Mania press conference, he said, that story's not over. We're not done telling it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I seen a quote from Bubba Ray saying, all those know-it-alls don't know it all. We are constantly, as pro wrestling fans, complaining that everything is too fucking obvious, that we always see it coming. We're never caught off guard. We're never surprised. Well, guess what? You're fucking surprised now. Nobody's seen that coming. Nobody. I mean, they even leaked pictures of Cody's potential signature belt.
Yeah. And that's when I knew it wasn't going to happen yet. When the leaks came out, I said, oh, yeah, this is, they might as well put his death warrant out there. It's not happening.
So I don't know, man. Like, I just, like, when it was all said and done, like, I just, in my mind, all I could think of is, like, as pissed as I was, and I still am, like, Like, to me, the way they had that set up, Cody should have won, and it would have been a great story, and, you know, all that shit. But, you know, I just, it's all anybody's, they're still, and then what happened Monday night, that's a completely different fucking story. And that shit irritates me more than anything. But I think that's somebody else, not, you know, whoever wrote the script for Sunday night is a different, yeah, that's Triple H. Monday night was definitely not Triple H. That was somebody else. So. And I'll just leave that at that for later. But that's my, you know, like, we asked for it and he gave it to us. We wanted Dennis heel Day Roman Jr. and we got it.
It's a hell of a take.
So I'm kind of the same wavelength as Sean here and stuff. As much like you, I was in shock. I was pissed, you know, whatever. I'm like, what the fuck? But then I had a couple days to think about it. And to me, I think Cody needed this. Like, I think he needed this loss because basically since he's been back, and this is going back to when he came back at WrestleMania last year, he hasn't lost. He hasn't had a setback. He hasn't had, you know, what I think that, you know, Bully Ray was like his hard times that he has to go through to kind of, you know, kind of help complete the story. And I feel like that in the long run, it might be the smarter move because they'll be able to get Roman to 1,000 days from a marketing perspective. That's going to be money on a t-shirt. You know, that's more money for them. You know, there's so much more than just what we see on the TV, all this behind the scenes stuff that goes into a lot of this stuff. You know, like I said, marketing, TV, you know, all that stuff and everything. And that said, they're still not going to, I don't think no matter what they do, I don't think they're going to be able to recreate the magic they could have had Cody won at Mania, because that was a moment, like one of those Mania moments that would have, you would have seen from like in the intro video and all the then now forever thing, that would be plastered all over that. And that'd be one of those things you would see for as long as they do that video, that would always have been a staple of that. But I still feel like it was the wrong thing to do? Excuse me. Yes. But I don't feel as strongly in that manner as I did back right when it happened. So, I mean, and that's just maybe being the Cody fan and inside of me as well too and stuff. Cause like Sean, you know, I'm a really big Cody fan. Our buddy Patrick can tell you when Cody won the NWA title at All In back in 2018, I cried. Like, I was in the audience. I saw that live. I cried. That meant so much to me. And I was so happy to have been a part of that. And had he won at Mania, I probably would have cried again too, because I would have been so happy for him. Cause he, you know, he got to the top of the mountain, you know, he did the one thing his dad, you know, he wanted to do for his dad. And in a sense, all we ever really want to do in life is we want to please our dads. We want to make our dads happy and, you know, make them proud of us. I mean, I know I still try to do that to this day, despite, you know, having lost my dad almost 4 years ago and stuff. So Cody would have done the one thing. That was the one thing he wanted to do to make his dad even prouder of him than he probably already is. It didn't happen at WrestleMania. It's going to happen. I think it, if it happens, it's going to be at SummerSlam, and I think the rematch, Cody versus Roman 2, will be the main event at SummerSlam, and I think that is the reason why it'll sell out Ford Field in Detroit.
Yeah, he ain't getting that match at SummerSlam.
No, there's no way.
I don't think so. Not
and that's
not
my good. Issue.
Like I don't. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen at SummerSlam either.
That is my issue with it all, because you build up WrestleMania. That's the moment. That's the time. Everything was going into it. All the promotions, everything that you're selling night two of WrestleMania on is this match with Roman and Cody. And the fans were so, so hyped for Cody. Arguably, he's as hot as he's been in his whole career. AEW Cody wasn't this over, okay? Put that into perspective. They loved that man before they turned on him. And he was hotter now than he was then. And you set him up for a big moment, and he loses because of Solo Sikoa. I would have rather it have been a clean finish. I would have rather Roman, you know, kicked out to a crossroads, and Cody goes to set it up. Roman will throw him off the ropes, and he hits a spear, and that's it. I would rather him have won clean on a last-second spear or something, other than being like Solo fucked, you know, Cody Rhodes out of the biggest match of his career, because at least at that point I could say, you know what, Cody still needs to do something to get to the top of the mountain. And now I'm kind of left feeling, man, he was right there. Had they had really ejected that fool out, he would have been champ. And now with this thing with Brock on Monday night, that's probably going to be your SummerSlam. Cody's got to right that wrong first, make himself come out strong again because he's coming off of a big loss. It's just how do you build him back up? And will he keep this momentum? Because he's hot. He was hot a whole year. He was hot when he was injured. He was hot when he came back at the Rumble. Now you're telling me I have to go a whole nother season of them trying to keep him relevant, keep him in the mind of the fans, keep him to where he's not combating another big storyline like he was with Sammy, because he was fighting Sammy for that main push. Mm-hmm. And then it's like Sammy cashed the chips in. Sammy got the tag belts with KO, and Cody's left here with another, well, I've got to start from the bottom. I've got to do the work. I've got to finish the story a second time. No, you can't use that bullshit on a second run for Cody Rhodes, because I'm going to be back here saying, oh, well, it's not going to happen because Roman fucking smashed him the first time. What are you going to do? Put him in another Hell in a Cell match? You're going to put him in a cage? Roman's not going to put himself in a cage. He's not going to go into a Hell in a Cell. So what's it going to be, an AEW storyline now? Cody goes through the whole fucking bloodline to get through to Roman Reigns the way he wants him, where no one can fucking interfere, and that'll probably happen at Mania next year. And it's going to be, I'm going to finish the story where no one could interrupt it. I mean, you blew it. You blew
actually,
the
Philbon, I think that's, I think I know you're making your point, but I actually think 100% that's exactly what the fuck is going to happen.
Well, it's coming.
I don't see him taking the strap off Roman. There's nobody left to take it off of him. He's going to do this thing with Brock. He's going to work his way back through the storyline. And by Mania next year, we're going to see it all over again.
Yeah.
Well, if it's at Mania next year, we'll all be there.
This is true. That's the one silver lining, is we will be there in the home of Joey K in Philadelphia. Granted, that's if he doesn't make us, yeah, sleeping out on the outsides, because it is Philadelphia.
Yeah. Now you guys can all sleep on the fucking couches and floor. Hey, that was just Jovan. I didn't say anything bad about Philadelphia.
Huh?
He's trying to make sure he gets a bed, buddy. He's trying to fight for his
damn
life.
Damn right I am.
You guys are fucking ridiculous.
Gentlemen, let's touch on it real quick. The WWE has been sold to the weirdest people in the world, the fucking owners of the UFC, because you don't want to feel like that's not fucking fixed. But the Endeavor Group buys the WWE. They're making a sports fucking conglomerate with the UFC. What do you guys think on the sell?
I think Vince could have made a lot more money on the company than what he did, but he chose to go with Endeavor because they agreed to put him back on the board, which means he would get creative control back, which is the whole fucking reason why he did it. And that's why sad. Raw was the long fucking flush, baby. Which is why the stockholders and stuff have actually filed lawsuits against the sale, because he literally took under market value for the company to give up 51%. And those shareholders were entitled to way more money than what they received. So It's not over yet. The funny thing is that some bitch is going to be dead in a year after all that fucking hair dye and Just For Men mustache hair color.
Hey, you got to admit that Vince memes going around lately have been pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, dude. Jesus. He looks like Howard Hughes. Actually, he looks like Leonardo DiCaprio playing Howard Hughes. That's what I got.
He looks like Vicente Fernandez right before he died.
I thought he looked like Raul Julia playing Gomez Adams in the Addams Family movies.
He looked like Raul Julia playing M. Bison before he died.
You know, I think he looked like an insufferable fucking twat. That's what I think.
He looks like a twat.
An insufferable fucking twat. I'm just gonna say it because I've been thinking about it all week, and that's why it was hard to get through the Mania stuff and everything like that. But the news of this sale, I don't know if we're gonna be here for fucking WrestleMania next year. Because here's the problems with it. One. You got shareholders fucking suing now, like we already talked about. They're going to try to hold up the sale. They're going to try to change things around. Not to mention, Vince is going to do everything in his power to stay in power and get control back of his company. Didn't he say he was going to pay back the money from all the fucking payouts that he had to leave the company in the first place for, right?
I thought he already did.
Nah.
He was something like that. Yeah. I thought he had already had, but yeah.
And if he didn't, he's not going to now because he's back in charge. Doesn't fucking matter. Everything goes away. Endeavor is not the best company for this. I wasn't for Endeavor purchasing the UFC in the first place. And honestly, the UFC's fallen off some. I don't give a fuck what they. Oh, it's global. Some,
man, they fall off quite a bit.
I can tell you from aspect of a lot of fucking just like I've watched the UFC from the fucking old school days before it was bought by the Fertittas, all that shit through the Fertitta era, all the way through, and it's like. It's not the same. It's changed up the production. And the biggest catch to it all, it's priced itself out of the fucking market. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they're going to do with WWE. They're going to price themselves out of the fucking market. They're going to lose all this pay-per-view revenue and they're going to lose everything that they're going to try to do because fans are used to having a subscription service. And not having to pay. That's not Endeavor's model. They're here to make you pay for every single fucking thing. It's going to change merch. It's going to change deals. It's going to change everything. The talent is going to get sick of it and ready to move on. Be prepared to see a lot of people that you wouldn't expect to see in the indies out there.
Well,
later this year... 2024, 2025, you're going to see more and more go. I think WWE will be a shell of itself. And it's all because of Vince McMahon. He is the greatest thing to happen to professional wrestling. And he is also the worst thing to ever happen to fucking professional wrestling.
Yeah. He's the death now, bro. He's
And one of the things I kind of wanted to piggyback off what Joey K just said about, you know, Pete Talent leaving and going on the indie scenes. It's being reported that one of the reasons why Jay White is all elite is because of Vince McMahon coming back into power.
Oh, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter because Vince could give a shit about anybody like Jay White. So,
well, no, because I think Jay White knew at this point going to WWE would have been the worst possible thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then and all these guys that are getting their time right now, Johnny Gargano and all these other guys that had already been released and whatnot. Like, there's going to be layoffs, dude. Anytime
release two merges, part soon.
Yeah, there's going to be people. Vince is going to gut this company until there's nothing fucking left.
Right.
And what does he care?
I pretty much can't really add anything to what's already been said. Pretty much what Joey K said, what's been said, it's pretty much encapsulates how I feel about this. I was always, for the longest time when this whole sale thing was being discussed, and I think I talked to you guys about this, I would have loved to have seen Universal buy them because, you know, they have, you know, they own Peacock, they own, you know, the USA networks and everything. To me, it felt like that was the sale that would have made the most sense. You know, unfortunately, it didn't happen. You know, thankfully, it didn't go get sold to the Saudis who... and everything and stuff. But yeah, my biggest fear is what, you know, Joey K said, this whole price in the, you know, out of themselves, out of the market. I mean, and, you know, with their pay-per-views now, you have to be, you know, signed up with ESPN Plus, and then you have to pay the money, which is what is it? Usually like $60, $70 for a pay-per-view now?
$60 for a mediocre, $90 for the big shows.
Yeah,
and stuff. So if the it's it'd yeah, be
that's we've the got, case, like man. Said, Sean's got, not telling you right now Silverwolf's not buying any fucking PLEs for $100. That's bullshit.
That'll be what Mania costs, I guarantee you.
The streaming sites are going to start paying. You're going to see an increase in the traffic on the illegal streaming sites, of which we don't advocate here on the show.
We do not advocate right now. We do not advocate right now. Yeah, but may or may not be how I watch UFC.
That might change in a few months.
because it's been nice to have, you know, this model that we've had since, you know, for just about 9 years, so going back to the days of the WWE Network, where $9.99 a month, you got, you know, you would get every pay-per-view. So you got to watch WrestleMania. Think about what this kind of did for, and Sean can probably attest to this, back in the days when we used to do the threads on the wrestling groups. You know, one year, I think for WrestleMania, I think it was WrestleMania 31, we did a thread on one of our old groups, and we had over, it was like 1,500 comments or something like that and stuff.
Yeah.
And just like those were like the coolest things, is because it was like you were watching it with a bunch of your friends and stuff, even if they weren't there with you. Those days are going to be long gone with this. You're going to almost be better off going to like a Buffalo Wild Wings or some place that's showing it, where maybe you pay $5-$10 to get in, you know, and then you just have to buy a meal or something like that. And that may not necessarily be the worst thing, but it's just, it was kind of nice being able to just sit in the comfort of, you know, and, you know, on my dad's recliner that I have in my basement, and, you know, watching the shows from the comfort of my own home. I want something to eat. I don't have to go pay, you know, $15 for, you know, a burger and fries. I just go upstairs and make something or throw something in the oven or whatever, and I'm good in like about 10, 15 minutes. So I've always been the eternal optimist. You guys know that. I'm always the glass half full kind of guy, but it's just, for me, it's just with this, I don't see any good out of the coming out of this sale, you know, as it is stands right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to give a take on this because we're going to go ahead and try to transition quickly, because I wanted to throw in another question, but we're not going to have time, so we can keep this a little bit at an hour because we still have final thoughts. So my take is just the sale sucks. So going into final thoughts, dude, we don't have time for nothing fucking else.
Nah, good take. No.
Going into final thoughts, who wants to start us off? Next week, we'll talk about AEW. This was a full fucking WWE show. We're all very passionate about every shit that's happened in the last few days, so it took the full hour. We're going to try to keep it at an hour for you guys. We do go over sometimes, but we are going to try to maintain it. But this week, you know, it's WWE heavy. Next week, we'll hit AEW. Of course, Jay White, FTR. That'll be a
all in thing.
All in. So stay tuned. We'll hit it, I promise. But this week, we went WWE heavy. So final thoughts. Who wants to start us off?
You know what? I'll go. So a lot of us, you know, there's been a lot of good and a lot of bad in this last week in wrestling and stuff like that. But just the one constant is just been, just, you know, the fact that we get to do this show with, you know, I get to do this show with you guys and everything, and we poke fun at each other and everything, you know, and Sean's turned over a new leaf, at least we think he has, and stuff, and it's just, I say this all the time, but I mean it every time I say, you know, I really enjoy doing this show. It's one of the very few things I look forward to on a weekly basis, because it's just my chance to be able to kick back, not have to worry about going into work, or, you know, my son Matthew driving me crazy, or, you know, my wife, you know, driving me crazy and that and stuff. And it's just being able to sit back and talk about this thing that, you know, we are all huge fans of and love, and that's pro wrestling. And it's just, you know, fun, you know, help everyone out there, all our shooters out there that are, you know, that celebrate, you know, this time of year with, you know, Passover and, you know, Good Friday and everything, and Easter Sunday, you know, hope everybody has a safe, you know, holiday, you know, with their friends and family and everything. And just whatever you do, just keep enjoying life, because life is there's so much good out. There's so many things out there to experience in life. And it's just, but I don't want to dwell on all the negative that seems to, it's been, you know, kind of creeping into the world of pro wrestling lately. I'm going to choose to, you know, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. I'm excited. I'm going to see the Super Mario Brothers movie tomorrow with my wife and my son. So you know what? I'm going to do this to myself. I'm calling myself a mark for Super Mario Brothers.
What in the hell?
You know who that is, right, man? There you go. Yeah, man. There you go.
But that's the mark you pick?
Well, it could even be this one.
Yeah, it's Mark Twain.
How's it getting worse?
Wait. I got one more.
Hey, I think
that was fucking Marky Mark.
Now that's some good vibration.
Hey, how you doing? How's your mother?
That's some good vibration.
That's like right, right, John Vector right. Fall into the multiverse. Like, it leans back too hard.
All right. Who's next?
I'll go next.
How's your mother? How's your mom?
So after all this wrestling and all the good shit, all the bad shit, one thing we should mention is the passing of Bushwhacker Butch.
Jesus.
Fucking brutal. Dude, fuck the Bushwhackers. I don't even give a fuck. The WWF gimmicky shit. If you go back and watch prior to that, Mid-Atlantic, when they're fucking the sheep herders.
Yep.
They were the fucking 1983, 84, 85 version of the fucking Briscoes. They were some...
Ooh, I like that.
Bad motherfuckers who came out there. They were just mean, nasty, tough, like, badasses. They signed with the WWF. They wanted them as baby faces. They, you know, they knew it's all about selling shirts and the bullshit and the kids and all that stuff. So that's what they became famous for. But pre-WWF, they were some bad motherfuckers together. And just sad, you know, because to me, sad because kind of be remembered as a little bit of a fucking WWF gimmick, but a real fucking badass wrestler. From the 70s and 80s out of New Zealand, all the way through the U.S. when they got to the U.S. from working for Crockett and Mid-Atlantic and all this shit. So sad, just sad. A sad
when that
passing.
Comes up, you're not a mark. You're a Marky Mark.
Wow. You're fucking.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Your turn. I want to hear your fucking final thought right now. Go for it. What's that? What's that?
Oh, shit. Okay. I'm good.
You good? You good?
Yeah, I'm okay. good.
You will chortle my fucking balls.
What? Okay. I'm sorry. My final thought, and Sean, I need you to finish out strong tonight because I have almost damn near nothing. My final thought tonight is the last time I can remember seriously caring about a storyline as much as I did the Cody Rhodes match may have been when Moose won the Impact Heavyweight Championship. Fuck you guys. Put the mark up. I don't give a goddamn. But I felt like, oh, there you go. Now I'm just there. I'm a smart mark. you just fucking mark rotations. Anyways, I'm a fan. There's certain guys that I like, and when it gets time for them to get that big win, you know, I want to see it. I want to see it happen. And when it didn't happen for Cody, I was pissed. You guys may have not have broken anything, but I fucking did. You know, so we'll leave it at that. But I was literally pissed, and then you double down with what happened Monday night. And to everybody saying, oh, well, you don't know the business. You don't know how it's going down. They're replaying Brock Lesnar and John Cena from 20 fucking... Well, fuck you. I lived through that. I watched that when it happened live, and it wasn't fucking great. Yeah. At that point, it wasn't the exact same fucking thing. It was slightly different. Just because there's similarities doesn't mean they're shooting the same story. And the circumstances are not the way they were back in the day. Now we have new owners. Now creative is going through the madman before it was going through somebody who actually knew what the fuck he was doing and delayed the story for a right reason. Now I have a feeling that the story is getting pushed back because, oh, well, that's not the guy I wanted. Put him back in the fucking jumpsuit. Put a star on his face. Where the fuck is Stardust? That's my biggest fucking fear, is we let that guy back in control. Hopefully the shareholders can do something about it. But to me, the Triple H era, he knew where he was going. And now with Vince back at the helm, I feel like I'm not going to get the payoff to the story. And I don't want to see a wrestler that I like get relegated to the mid-card because he's already gone through that in a company that he helped create. So where do you go from here? You relegate him to the mid-card. He gets lost in the shuffle. There's no going back to AEW to be the big guy anymore. I doubt that the fans will want you back there. I mean, maybe you go to NWA and take the belt off of Tyrus. I don't know. I don't know where you go, but it feels like they've wasted the massive opportunity they had to tell a great story. And for all of us old school fans, to have the name Rhodes once again in the lights would have been fucking beautiful. So that's me. Sean, take it away.
Good take, man.
Appreciate it, man.
It's a good take, dude. I don't know, man. Like, this week's been weird. It's just been weird for me, and I'll be completely honest. On a personal level, it's been kind of a tough week, that has nothing to do with wrestling. That, you know, I'm not saying that wrestling on a personal level has made my week tough. That it's just wrestling. All right, I'm not that guy where it ruins my day. But it did start the week off kind of funny, and I've been, you know, dealing with some things personally, emotionally. A lot of you guys know I suffer from social anxiety and these kind of things. And for the most part, I feel like I have it under control and it's always something that I can manage and deal with. But, you know, this week it kind of came to a head and decisions I had to make about what I'm doing in my life every day and what's best for me, what's best for my family. What's best for being a part of this podcast and being a part of this community. You know, you just sometimes in life you make decisions thinking you're doing the right thing. And then you find out, you know, man, this was fucked up. I should have listened to everybody who was telling me this is not the right way to do it. But, you know, when you're in a situation where you're concerned about your family financially, you do what you have to do to get over that hump. And luckily for me, we got to a point where now we're in a situation where I can go back to doing what I want to do and not what I need to do, which is not get up at 3:30 in the morning and, you know, having to go in and do this stuff. It really hit me hard this week just listening to all these people talk about what happened Sunday night and the reasoning behind it. You know, Triple H don't give a shit that Cody Rhodes smashed a throne at a pay-per-view. He don't care about that shit. He don't give a shit about any of that stuff. You know why? Because Paul Levesque knows how to make money. He's about business, which is why he went from terrorizing to CEO in charge of creative for Monday Night Raw and WWE, why he built NXT to one of the greatest things that they had in the company at the time when everything else was falling off. NXT was making money and doing great things and developed some of the stars that you're talking about right now on the biggest pay-per-views and doing, making the biggest money are all NXT, you know, performers. He didn't hold Cody down because of what happened in AEW. Ain't got shit to do with anything. Paul Levesque kept the belt on Roman Reigns because Paul Levesque had a plan and he wants us frothing at the fucking mouth for somebody to beat Roman Reigns. And who might that be? I don't know. I don't know. It could be Gunther. It could be Montez Ford. It definitely won't be that fuck, but it will definitely, you know, or it could be Cody Rhodes. Like, we don't know what's going on, but Paul Levesque does. He has a plan. I hope that he still has the reins in his hand long enough to execute what he has in mind. And I hope that we all get to see the accumulation of this story. I think Roman Reigns is going to hold a title until they can wipe away Bruno Sammartino from the book.
You know, it's weird that you say that, because I think that's where they're going.
I really think that's where they're going.
Well, I think it's well documented that Bruno and Vince don't like each other.
They have a history. And I think that they're going to, and if we're really being honest about the history of the WWF / WWE, okay, you got Hogan, you got Stone Cold,
yeah,
you got The Rock, you got Triple H, you got John Cena. And then there's Edge and Randy Orton and CM Punk and a few guys that are sprinkled in there, but nobody on the level. I mean, Cena was on top for so long and just, man, I mean, that was a big long nap for a very long time with that guy at the helm. And if you take The Rock's reigns and Steve Austin's reigns, what is that? Like 3.5-4 years total combined. Like, it really wasn't, their time at the top wasn't very, very long. So you're honestly looking at Sammartino and Hogan, seen as, what, a 16-time champ, but never held the belt as long or even close to being this long. DDJ, you're muted, buddy.
That's the only way we can get the show going. He's muted.
Okay.
No, right. I'm joking.
Yeah, he's still talking. Hold on. Can't hear him.
Go, DDJ.
Fuck you, there. First off.
Muted yourself, jackass. It wasn't me.
And see, nobody even talks about it.
I didn't have anyone near my mic.
I tried to unmute you.
I honestly
think with the bloodline and the faction that they have and Paul Heyman at the reins, and I just, like, this is going to go on. Roman Reigns will be champion throughout the rest of this year, going into Mania next year, and... You know, Paul Levesque don't give a shit what we think. He's given us what we've always asked for. We always want to be surprised. We always talk about how it's like we always know what's coming, or this is the same as that, or that's just a rehash of this, or they did the HBK story, or whatever the case is. We're always throwing these little cliche comments out. But the fact of the matter is like the only person that's shocked us between then and now has been McMahon, when he decided that Taker needed to lose at Mania, and that was the wrong decision. Taker should have been undefeated throughout his entire Mania career, but this decision, I think he had business in mind, and it didn't have shit to do with his history with Cody Rhodes or Cody Rhodes being an AEW product, because he wasn't. Cody Rhodes is now and always has been a WWE product. He cut his teeth there. That's where he learned the business. He left because he got released and he moved on and he did other things. He bet on himself and he came back. But Cody Rhodes is hands down a WWE product. And let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. And Paul Levesque is a professional wrestler, yes. A businessman, yes. But he's also, to his core, a pro wrestling fan. And the best we can do is just remember that and just stick around for the show and hope that it don't end up costing us $100 to watch the shit next year.
And that it's still Hunter putting on the show.
Yeah, for sure. That's all I got, man.
Fantastic. I love DJ, you want to wrap with something? We love you too, man.
I already gave my final thought. You know what? I'm ready to take it home.
Give me amusing. Give me something, man. You used to do funny quips before the video. Give me a funny quip on the way out.
A funny quip, huh?
Yeah.
I see, when you have to think about it.
That's kind of being put on the spot here.
Yeah, well, that happens.
Well, thank you very much to the ladies and catering, to the guys out there.
Dump out on them.
I'm just joking, buddy. I'm just joking.
Just dump it. Go, man.
You know what? Here's my quip. Fuck you, Jovan.
If you say fuck now.
Fuck the Cowboys. Fuck the Texas Rangers.
Well, that was hurtful. I was just trying to give him a good out. Anyways, thank you to the ladies once again in HR.
Like muting my fucking mic, you jag off.
That time I did mute it for a comedic effect. Well, not the second time. Like the time just now when he was thinking, I did that because I thought it was funny. Because he thinks I did it the first time. I didn't do it the first time, but I did it the second time. But anyway, thank you to the ladies in HR, to the jobbers and ham and eggers out there in catering, and to everybody for listening with us. We have been shooting shit. That's DDJ up there. Silver Wolf, as always. The Premier Joey K. I'm the hot one. Y'all have a great night.
Attention wrestling fans and fans of Shootin' Shit Podcasts. You can now be one of the cool kids by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt. Buy it now and be there at ringside.
And from now until 1 p.m. on Monday, April 10th, you can save 20% on the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and use the code SPRING23.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. And you can buy your official Shootin' Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.